everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
So how does a 13-year-old boy who has just lost his father and from the wrong side of Pleasantville, overweight and losing his hair, go on to become one of this world's most beloved actors of stage and screen, not to mention land and sea? And how much did God's favor, a winning attitude, and a repentant heart play a part? Best known for his iconic role as Captain Merrill on ABC's mega-hit series, The Love Boat, Murray Slaughter on the wildly popular The Mary Tyler Moore Show, and host of his own Back on Course TV show, which aired on the Trinity Broadcasting Network for 17 years with co-host and beautiful bride Patty, you could say my next guest has had anything but a dull life. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony in a rare two-part exclusive, a great honor indeed, a veteran actor of stage and screen and author of his latest memoir, This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood, Faith and Life, and ladies and gentlemen, ambassador for Princess Cruises, everyone's captain, Gavin McLeod. Gavin, welcome to Testimony.
Well, I'm so honored by that introduction. I hope I don't disappoint your listeners. You know, there's one thing you didn't mention that I am very proud of, and I'm very humbled by what you just said, is that I've made some spiritual films. I did two films for Rich Cristiano. One is The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. And to be used this way at the senior moment of my career is the most exciting and the most humbling moment of my actor's life. This movie that we made for less than $1 million has brought thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. I just wanted to mention that because that is so important to me.
Well, amen and amen, and thank you for that. You've done so much in your life, Gavin. In fact, at age 84, you are still going strong. You recently held the lead in Coachella Valley Repertory Theater's world premiere of Happy Hour. But life for you, Gavin, wasn't always so happy. So for part one of our conversation today, would you please begin to tell us that story, and then we'll segue into your life and career and what you're doing now. More of that in part two. Gavin McLeod, please tell us your story.
Why, thank you. And first, it is an honor to be with you. I have been blessed. As I look back on my life, I have been blessed every moment. I've gone through black moments and white moments and moments with Jesus, which were the most exhilarating. And I learned that we have a forgiving God, and that because of that, I am where I am today. There is no reason I should be alive, considering all the physical things the enemy has made on my life. But I will start in the beginning, as you alluded to in the introduction. I was born in Pleasantville, New York. This is all in my book, This Is Your Captain Speaking. I was born in Pleasantville, New York, and my mom went to the seventh grade and had to work. My father went to the seventh grade and had to work. So they didn't know much about the creative world. It was just hand to mouth. And I know I was loved. I know my grandparents loved me. And I did a play when I was 4 years old in the kindergarten. And at the end of that play, I got applause, and I had never received that before in my life before. And in my little mind, I said, gee whiz, they really like me. If this is what it takes to have people like me, I want to do more of this. And so I started acting from that moment on. So actually, I have been acting, it's almost shocking to think about, for 80 years.
Wow.
Wow. That's really a blessing. And I still know who I am. So that was the beginning of my desire to get people to like me and to receive that back. I don't think I was getting much of that in my real life. And my father was an alcoholic, and my two grandfathers were alcoholics, and the very scenes that I talk about in my book that would take a long time to tell you, but it was all very negative. And so I grew up with that kind of a background. And I had one uncle who belonged to the Merchant Marine, who eventually had his own church, but he belonged to the Merchant Marine. And I was brought up Catholic, my brother and I, and he was an Episcopalian. And because of the nature of his work, he brought my brother and I to New York City to see our first Broadway play, to see our first rodeo in Madison Square Garden. And he was the one that made us real that there was a world outside beside Pleasantville. The rest of the family were very satisfied to be there and to live there and not go any further. To me, I wanted to go like he did, all around the world. And look what God did. I eventually became, because of the Love Boat, a goodwill ambassador for the United States, going all over the world.
Amen. I just want to take our listeners a little bit back on your journey, because I did read your book most in part. I want to highlight some of your growing up, because I think this will be a great encouragement to our listeners. You chose not to, quote, have something to fall back on. You took acting in school, singing, dancing.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You're really an entertainer. You received a scholarship to Ithaca College.
That's right.
Beatrice McLeod was your acting teacher, hence the name change. Your original name is Alan C. S-E-E.
Right.
And your father unfortunately died at the age of 39. He wanted you to be a football player. You quit football. You knew, Gavin, at a very early age, what you wanted to be in life. And the sense that I got in reading your book is that you weren't willing to compromise, which was a big step of faith. And you probably didn't even know the Lord at that time, which to me is remarkable and amazing. And I'd like for you to talk about that time in your life when you were at age 22. You were bald at this time. You couldn't get an agent. And you had a roommate who gave you $100. You had $25. And what happened next?
And I finally bought a secondhand hairpiece. But at that time, I was ushering a Radio City music hall for $34 a week. And then they liked me and promoted me to the elevator operator. I think I was making $37 a week. But it's true, my friend Vince, who was working the lights at the music hall, making hundreds of dollars a week, loaned me some of the money, and I saved the rest to get a hairpiece. And we did, and I got a secondhand hairpiece for... I mean, I went in, and the man said, he looked me over, and he said, in my early 20s, and he said, what are you here for? I said, well, look, I'm bald, and you sell hair. So I need some hair. I'm an actor, and there's no parts for young kids without any hair.
Right.
And he said, well, it's like $400 or $500 or $600. He said, so you have a whole head. You need all of that. And I said, but I only have $125. And he said, well, you come back when you get the rest. I said, oh, man. I said, look, I'm at the music hall. I can't get a job unless I have the hair. So anyway, I was very depressed, and I started walking down the stairs of this place. And then I heard this voice, hey, kid, come back up here. I said, me? And he said, yeah. So I went up there. He said, come on, follow me. I followed him into a room. It was a big mirror. The whole wall was a mirror. And there was a stool, and there was a counter. And on that counter, there was a hairpiece. He said, sit down there. So I said, he was very bossy. I sat down there, and he put this on my hair, on my head, this hair. He says, what do you think about that? I said, I said, this is so beautiful. I hadn't seen hair on my head in years. I said, it could look like a bird's nest. It wouldn't make any difference to me. This is beautiful. He said, you can have this for $125, the money you have. I said, but I thought you said, he said, well, this belonged to somebody else. And he said, so he got a new one, left this here. He doesn't want it. I don't want it. You can have it for $125. And so I had that. That hairpiece got me my first Broadway play with Shelley Winters and Ben Gazzara. It got me my first wife, who was a Rockette, and I was an elevator operator.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it just, I had that hairpiece with me for 40 years.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, I mean, we're still going to have a pseudo kind of funeral for it one day, but... We just gave it to a museum, but that was the end of the hairpiece, you know. But that I was able to, because of being bald, and when I got to the West Coast, so I did the play with Shelley Winters, A Hat Full of Rain, while dealing with drugs and everything, and I was in it for like 7 months in New York. That's why I met Steve McQueen. He came in to replace Ben Gazzara. It was an actor's play. They were all actor studio people but me. And then so we went on the road with it, and I got to California, and I had an offer for a movie. And so even without my hair, and so I told my wife when I got back to New York, I said, I think there's some action for me on the West Coast. I said, so, and we contacted the only agent we knew. So he wanted to see me. So I come to California to the West Coast. I go to the office, and who do I meet the first day but Ted Knight?
Right.
Oh boy, Ted. And he was just an actor then, and it was before he became famous when we did the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And he said, "Okay, kid," he said, "what you got to do is you have to get yourself a business manager." I said, "But you don't understand. I don't have any money." He said, "I don't have any money either. I've got a business manager." I said, "Well, what is going on in this town?" You know, that was the beginning. That was the first time I met my friend Ted. That night, who I eventually worked with on the Mary Tyler Moore Show for 7 years, and who I eventually brought to the Lord before he went home.
And I remember reading that in your book, Gavin. Actually, I think it was about 3 weeks before he died of cancer. You were impressed by the Holy Spirit to go visit him. He wasn't a believer at that time, but he
That's
decided
right.
that now is the time. I think his wife, Dottie, was not a believer at that time,
right.
but you just knew that you knew that you had to go. Ted was a lifelong friend
uh-huh.
and colleague of yours, which was very touching in the book, and it just shows the importance of building relationships, Gavin, with people, which I find throughout your entire book, you have beautifully done, yet you've had the ability to hold the stander, speak your mind, and God did the rest. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to world-renowned actor of stage and screen, Gavin MacLeod. You can learn more about Gavin and his incredible life and work by going to gavinmacleod.com and get his latest book, This Is Your Captain Speaking. Gavin, thank you for taking precious time to share just a little of your story and remarkable life's journey. You truly are a testimony of what it means to overcome, and beautifully so. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
God bless you, Janine.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the compelling story of one of Hollywood's most successful actors of stage and screen, his early beginnings, his struggles, yet ultimately his triumph, on stage and off, in the boat and out, the love boat, that is.
The iconic television series that would catapult my next guest to worldwide fame. Great sorrow, but in the end, great victory. Would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, veteran entertainer of stage and screen, author, host, and ambassador for Princess Cruise Lines, his latest great read, this is your captain speaking, the captain himself, actor Gavin McLeod. Gavin, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, thank you, Jensine. I still feel so humbled by all you said. I said, is that really me that she's talking about?
Really,
anyway,
you.
If it is, it's only because Jesus has done it for me.
Well, it is really you, and that's why I wanted to do your story, because not only are you a success in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. You gave your life to Him. We're going to talk about that in our second segment. I want to talk a little bit about your book, which has been a bestseller. It's so well written. It's engaging. It's humorous. It's informative. It's very transparent. But more than that, Gavin, it's a spiritual triumph from one who was once desperate to find true fulfillment and peace in his life. You've had health challenges, marriages, divorces, and a miracle reunion and remarriage that only God could have arranged in His divine and beautifully orchestrated way. On June 30th, 1985, as you mention in your book, you married your bride, Patty, for the second time after 3 years being separated, a plea to God, a phone call. Gavin, what happened next, and why is this and the events that would follow such a miracle? Gavin, please tell us more of that story.
Well, we were divorced for 3 years during the Love Boat. I really put my work before my wife. In the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I was like the third guy, and I had responsibility, but I didn't have to run the show. In The Captain, I was number one on the show, and I had a lot of responsibility, a lot of things you never saw on the screen. I was all over the country doing interviews, it's a very time-consuming kind of thing. And so I allowed that, really, my desire to be successful in that role, in that position, to dominate my thoughts and everything. Now, you have to understand, Patty and I, we were first married in a New Age teaching. We didn't come to Jesus until we were divorced for 3 years, the last year of that period. Jerry Lewis's first wife took my wife to a meeting with a bunch of ladies in Beverly Hills, and they were all born again. They were all praying, and she's never seen anything like this. Patty said, my wife, and one lady said, "Would you like to have your husband back?" And she said, "That's all I want." And she said, "Well, you could have him back. Let's pray for it." They started praying, and I researched this. And that same day they started praying, I thought about Patty for the first time. I thought about her. And the next morning, my mom needed an operation on her brain in Palm Springs, and the doctor said, "We can't promise whether she'll survive or not. We can't guarantee anything." So the morning of that operation, the next day after they started praying for me, in my bed in Beverly, I thought the bigger house, the happier it'd be, so I had a great big house then. I just prayed to Jesus, September 15th, 1984, "If you would give my mother more time in her life, I'll turn my life over to you. I don't care if I act anymore." The one thing I wanted to do, which I had done my whole life. And so as soon as I said that, something told me to call Patty. I called my secretary. I said, "I got to call Patty. Have you got a phone number?" She gave me the number, and it was like 7:20. And Patty said, "Hello." I said, "This is Gavin." She said, "I was just thinking about you." I said, "Can we be friends? I don't even know why I'm saying this." The Holy Spirit really had a hold of me. And the bottom line is, I said, "I'd like to see you." She said, "Well, I've started a group called Ladies, L-A-D-I-E-S. I said, "What does that stand for?" "It stands for Life After Divorce Can Eventually Be Sane." It was a support group for women. She was traveling all over dealing with ladies who had been divorced by dumped is another word they like to use, by their husbands, a lot of well-known people. And so we made an appointment. I saw her the next Monday. I knocked on the door, and it didn't open. Finally, it did open. We hugged, and she said, "I'm sorry your dinner's cold. It's been waiting for 3 years." And then we started talking about Jesus. And I said, "I hear you're born again." "Yes, what does that mean?" And she told me. I said, "That's what I want. That is what I want." She says, "I have something for you." And she came out of the bedroom, and she had a Bible. She had put my name inscribed on it. And that was the beginning of my conversion and changing my entire life.
Wow.
My entire desire, my entire wishes, everything. And I realized that what I was here for, that God had gotten me through so many different things so that I can go out and tell people that Jesus is real. Jesus, if Jesus can bring Patty and I back together, he can bring anybody back together.
Wow.
And we've had a relationship now. We have a threefold covenant. We have a relationship with Jesus, Patty, and Gavin. And there's a cement there that Jesus gives us because he is there. We never think about leaving each other because we don't want to leave him. We don't want him to leave us. And we just love each other because we have his love now. He died so that we can go out and tell people that Jesus is alive. And Jesus will forgive. And he is there 24/7. And that's when, as you said before, you alluded to being an ambassador. When I became, as Paul says, once you become born again, you become an ambassador for Christ. To me, that is the greatest role I have ever had since the day I was born. And being the captain and being the ambassador for Princess Cruises, it's very nice. I'm very humbled by it. But being an ambassador for my Lord and Savior, it just doesn't get anything better. And so I am so grateful. That's my middle name, is Grateful. Every morning I talk to him. Every minute I talk to him, he's always with me. I'm thinking all the time about the Lord and what he did for us, why he died for us, so that we wouldn't have to suffer. We wouldn't have to have pain. You know, that we could just be alive. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And when you get to be 85 years old, that means an awful lot, you know. We can run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Come on. Because sometimes I see people around here, their hips, they're having so much trouble. Even on the last Princess Cruise, I was just gone off 2 days ago. People were on walkers and things because things are wearing out because they're getting older. But Isaiah 40:31, come on.
Amen.
That's life. I don't know. I'm like a child inside this old body. Because I am so much in love with Jesus.
I love it, Gavin. I love your book, This Is Your Captain Speaking, because you talk about the kind of faith that can see one through anything. I found it very positive, uplifting. Question, how important is a godly positive attitude and seeing God in every disappointment, as you seem to do?
I think I do that. You're absolutely right. Because he has me do that. I spend a lot of time with believers, and a lot of people, believers don't have that. He has just blessed me with giving me that. Unless you believe as a little child, he says, you'll never see the gates of heaven. Well, that's what I am. I just love. I do what he tells me. He says, love each other. I love everyone. Doesn't mean I have to like everyone, but I have to love them, and I do that. And I have been through, he saved me from death so many times, physical death from operations and things that are in my heart, things that are in my left atria, things that are in my groin, things my back has been all replaced, things that most people couldn't handle. He's got me handling it, so I can tell people that he is the great healer. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a choice. Life is full of choices, and he is just there with his hands out saying, come to me, I'm all you need. And I tell you, since my father died when I was young, I finally found my real father. And I tell you, it's so comforting. When difficulties arise, he's there to help us through that, and he's always there. And I am so grateful. That's my middle name. All my friends say, you're Mr. Grateful. I say, I am grateful. That's why I'm standing here today. That's why I can remember who I am. I've seen people younger than me, and I said, oh, if only they had the Lord, you know, because they're miserable, and they don't know the kind of joy and the kind of relief, the kind of health, everything you get, because he died for us.
And it's a supernatural joy, isn't it, Gavin? It's not something that one can manufacture.
Exactly, exactly. And I can't wait to get up out of bed each day and just have a day for Jesus, have another day for Jesus. I had to go and do a big recording for Princess Cruises this morning. You'll never guess who was in that car with me. You'll never guess who was on that microphone with me. He's there with me all the time. And a lot of people who don't believe or think that's very Pollyannish, I'm telling what's as real as pinching yourself and feeling what it feels like when you pinch yourself. Jesus is real, and he cares about you.
Amen and amen. Gavin, in our remaining moments, what do you want to say to your children and parents of children today that may feel lost, looking for answers, and wanting to, quote, win in life?
I would just say that just take a moment and be thankful and wonder why you're here. Wonder why you have a life. Why do you have a life and others haven't lived as long as you? Or others aren't as happy or fulfilled? Or maybe you're not as fulfilled. There is only one answer. Listen to next month I'm 85 years old. Listen to a person that's been through it all. He's been allowed to get through it all because of his belief that Jesus is the Son of God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to world-renowned actor of stage and screen, Gavin MacLeod. You can learn more about Gavin and his incredible life and work by going to gavinmacleod.com and get his latest book, This Is Your Captain Speaking. Gavin, it has truly been an honor having you share your amazing story from struggling actor to world-renowned superstar and arguably this nation's most beloved Captain. You and your beloved Patty are living testaments to the power of overcoming through a relationship with Jesus Christ. May our Lord continue to mightily bless you wherever you sail, knowing that your final port is heaven itself and that your lives are helping many to get there. Thank you, Gavin, and God bless you.
God bless you, Jensine. Jesus loves you, and so do I.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.